Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, I want to read several passages, and the message today is about Jesus and his friends. Matthew 11, and look at verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplaces, who call unto their fellows and say, We piped unto you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Remember that. A friend of publicans and sinners. Now Mark chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass that he was sitting at meat in the house of Levi or Matthew, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and publicans, said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And now let's look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And let's look at one more in chapter 19. Luke 18, and look at verse 9. And he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught, despised them. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for the light that has shined from heaven. In the beginning, our Father, you put the sun in the sky to shine upon the earth, that we might see things according to the flesh. And then, our Father, you sent down your Son from heaven to shine upon our hearts, that we might see the things of the Spirit, the other world that exists, of which man knows nothing. We are thankful that your Son, who came from heaven, told us all that we need to know about you and heaven and the way to heaven. And we are thankful, our Father, for what he said to other men, and for what other men said about him. We know that some of the things they said were lies, our God. But some of the things they said were as truthful as the things that you, his father, said concerning him. And we've read some of those scriptures this morning, and we desire to understand them. So our God, by thy Spirit, illumine us, give us understanding, and give us hearts that are receptive and obedient, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and bless us this hour, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. One of the most marvelous things that anybody can think about is this, that Jesus has friends. That's a remarkable thing. I can understand you, myself, having friends, because we are sinners among sinners. But the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, high, exalted. And yet, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And when he dwelt among us, Jesus had friends. So that means that even though he was high and lifted up, it does not mean that he was aloof, that he was separate from men, that he would have nothing to do with them. But it means that when Jesus came to earth, he came not as one to condemn man, but to save man, to be a friend of man. That is a marvelous thing to consider. What does it mean? It means that any one of God's fallen creatures can be a friend of Jesus. There are plenty of people in the world that if you went up and introduced yourself and said, I want to be your friend, I want to be on your list of those that visit you, that talk to you, that know your secrets, I want to be your friend and your associate. And they would laugh in your face. There are some who have secretaries, and if you try to get into the office, you could never get through the door because they are not interested in friends. But you will look in vain in the Word of God to find any sinner that ever wanted to come to the Lord Jesus and meet him and be his friend that Jesus rejected. So that's why I want to talk to you this month about Jesus and his friends. Because if you get to know people, and there's some I've known many years, then on occasion, while I'm with my friend, I see other strange individuals come and visit in their homes. And I ask, who is this man? Who is this woman? And they say, this is my friend. And they introduce the friend. And when I'm alone with them, I ask, well, why would you have him as a friend? Why would you have that woman as a friend? And then it is explained to me. And I say, I understand. I never realized that you had so many friends and such a variety of friends. I thought that as a preacher, you would only have preacher friends, that you would only have people that did not indulge in the ordinary practices of sinners, but you would only have good people around you. Now, that is just what the accusation of the enemies of the Lord Jesus thought about him and what they were unable to accept about the Lord Jesus, that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. You have to think for a moment. When the Bible says something about the Lord, or when it makes a statement concerning any fact, you have to ascertain whether the Lord says it or whether some man says it. If the Lord says it, it's true. If a man says it, it may be a lie. Do you remember when Satan was talking to Eve in the garden? What he said was lies. And so you don't believe that. But it's in the Bible. But lies. And some things that men said about the Lord Jesus Christ were lies. They were completely false. Other things, and I thank God for this, they were absolutely true. And even though the critics of the Lord Jesus made this statement concerning him to ridicule him, to rebuke him, what they said concerning our Savior was absolutely true. They said this, he is a friend of publicans and sinners. And there's no truer statement anywhere in the Word of God than that. But I told you that you have to find whether a man said it or whether God said it. But they did not only say that he is a friend of publicans and sinners. They also said this, he is a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. That's a lie. And after that, they said, a friend of publicans and sinners. That is absolute truth. What does it mean? It means that they had seen the behavior of the Lord in the world, and they noticed that when someone would invite him to go home and eat with them, he would go home and eat with them. It made no difference who that person was. He would go home with them. Also, that when he went home with them, if they set upon the table a glass of wine, the Lord Jesus would drink of that wine. Because the Bible condemns drunkenness, but it says that even those that are officials in the church are not to be given to much wine. But what happens is this. If you saw me go to someone's house, and as I did on one occasion, I was invited to this Italian's house, and he was a young boy, and as I was eating with him, he had a special wine bottle on the table, and he said, John, he said, my father made this wine himself. Would you try a little bit of it? And I said, yes. I could have said to him, I'm against wine. I have nothing to do with wine. It is the beverage of drunkards. Now, what effect would that have had? And the Lord Jesus never treated them that way. And so he poured me a little bit of that wine, and I tasted it, and I said, that's good. I said, did your father press it out with his own feet? And we both laughed and laughed, and that was the end of the matter. But had someone seen me sitting with him that disliked me because I'm a minister of the gospel, they would have said, that man is a wine bibber. He's drinking wine all the time. And also, if a person who was wealthy had a large meal for me to honor me, and to please that person, I would have to eat something of all the dishes that he set on the table. They would say concerning me, oh, that man is a glutton. So our Savior went when he was invited to people's homes, and if they set wine upon the table, he would drink it. And if they had large amounts of food on the table, he would eat it. And so his enemies looked at him and said, he's a wine bibber and he's a glutton. But the Lord Jesus was prepared to accept those criticisms that he might win the souls of men. And I too am prepared to accept such criticisms. I go to some places and they say, God absolutely forbids the use of wine, whereas our Savior drank wine. And the Bible says, wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Against drunkenness, God and the Word absolutely against it. It said, no drunkard is going to get into heaven. But the Savior did not condemn it, and God's Word does not condemn a glass of wine at times. I mentioned that just to show you that our Savior, when something is true, he does not alter the truth so that he won't offend certain individuals. Let me give you an example. Some people do. Some people would change their entire ministry, their preaching, and the people they visit because of the criticism that others would give. You must watch those criticisms. Indeed, there are some things that we cannot do. But there are other things that no matter how much we're criticized, we have to do. Suppose when all of these religious leaders that said of the Lord Jesus, "Your master eats and drinks with publicans and sinners," his disciples had gone back and said, "Do you know that all of these religious, influential people are criticizing you for eating and drinking with sinners?" And Jesus had said, "Well, I'd better not do it anymore. I'm not going to associate with sinners anymore. I'm not going to preach to sinners anymore." How many people would ever have gotten saved? You see, Jesus has to be the friend of publicans and sinners because that's why God sent him into the world. It said God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus takes the part of his disciples when other men criticize him. Because at times, we're not able to give a proper answer as to why our Savior does this thing and does not do another thing. And so, when they were asking his disciples, "Why does your master eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Before they could give an answer, the Lord Jesus came up and said, "I'll tell you why I eat and drink with publicans and sinners, because I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And another thing, people that are well do not need to go to a doctor, but people who are sick need to go to a doctor. He said, "I did not come down from heaven to call righteous people, well people, people that spiritually have no need, but I came into the world to save sinners. I came to seek and to save that which was lost," and that was the end of the matter. And not all the criticisms of men would ever turn the Lord Jesus Christ away from his task to fulfill the will of his Father. If his Father said, "This sinner needs salvation," the Lord Jesus would go and speak to that sinner. If he would say, "This outcast needs salvation," the Lord Jesus would go and speak to that outcast, just like this. Even his disciples at times did not understand him. In John chapter 4, our Savior is weary from doing the will of God, and he sits down at the well of Samaria, and he's thirsty and he's hungry. And a woman comes up to draw water at that well. And he is a woman to whom his disciples would not speak. But the Lord Jesus looks upon that woman and he says, "This woman's soul is thirsting for eternal life. And I'm the only one who has the water that can quench that inner thirst." And the Lord Jesus spoke to that woman, told her about the water in the well, and told her about a different kind of water. And he said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." And the woman said, "I want some of that water." And then the Lord Jesus explained to her the way of salvation. Jesus gave her water that was not in the well. I sang that as a young boy. She went away singing and came back bringing others to the water that was not in the well. Something like that. I must have sung it as a child because I cannot remember the words exactly. But I do remember that Jesus had a water that wasn't in the well. And that is just why all people have to come to the Lord Jesus. And that is just why that what the criticism of Jesus was the greatest compliment that could have been given to Jesus. Suppose when someone wanted to be saved, they came up and said, "Lord, I want to talk to you about salvation." And the Savior would look upon them and say, "You're not up to my standards. You're not good enough to come and talk to me. Go your way." Oh God, how many of us would be miserable and lost? What man could come up to the Lord Jesus and say, "I want to talk to you about salvation"? And the Lord Jesus would say, You are my equal. You are good enough now. And so since you are good enough, I'll tell you how to be saved. If any man were good enough to talk to Jesus, he would not need to be saved. But the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter who the man is that approaches the Lord Jesus, he has sinned and he's come short of the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus in condescension speaks to that man and tells him the way of salvation. And so, when the enemies of Christ criticize him about being the friend of publicans and sinners, God in heaven rejoiced and said, yes, my son is the friend of publicans and sinners because I sent him from heaven to be their friend. And there is nothing greater in truth in the Word of God than that Jesus eateth with sinners and receiveth sinners. And that is why when they said concerning Jesus, he's a glutton and he's a wine bibber, that's a lie. But when they said he's a friend of publicans and sinners, that is absolute truth. And the Lord Jesus proves those things. Now, today I'm talking about some of the friends of Jesus, and those friends are publicans and sinners. I remember something that was so funny a long time ago. One man, who was what they call a lay preacher, was preaching about Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners, and he said, Jesus is the friend of Republicans and sinners. And after the meeting, he said, no, no, not the friend of Republicans. He's the friend of publicans. And a publican is one who gathers income tax. And he was despised, and nobody cared anything about him. And on one occasion, I remember when we filled out our tax form, and I went in to a publican, a tax collector, and they said, we cannot allow this deduction. Later on, and this is what amused me, later on, that law was changed, and they said, you can take this deduction. You can take off so much a mile for your driving, but you cannot take off so much but for so many miles. Later on, they said, you can take it off for all the miles. Now, I didn't hate this income tax collector, but there was absolutely nothing I could do. And when they said, you owe us like $25 more, I said, all right. And I wrote out a check and gave them $25. And when people get money from you that way, they're usually not people that you admire. But in days of Christ, this is the way we're told that it was done. Here is a province, and Rome wants so much money from that province. And so this income tax collector goes and says, then I will give you this much money, and you will not have to worry about collecting it. Here it is in advance. And that money was given, and afterwards, that income tax collector would go to that province and bleed everyone dry of every penny they could get, because they had to get back all the money that they had given Rome in advance, and then anything that they got over, they kept for themselves. And that is why publicans were hated, because usually they were unscrupulous men. They were without any conscience, and they would take everything a man had if they could get it. And so the Lord Jesus acknowledged that. I want you to remember this, that when it says Jesus is a friend of publicans and sinners, it does not mean that he is their friend to the exclusion of other people of God. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that he is friendly, he is receptive to them when they are sinners and they want to be saved. I want you to understand that Jesus will say to all publicans and sinners who have not received him as Savior in the coming day, depart you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But as long as they are sinners seeking to get to heaven, the Lord Jesus is their friend. And the Lord Jesus will give that salvation to them. And this is what he says. He says, no greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Lord Jesus says to every sinner coming, Lord, I want to be saved. The Lord Jesus says, I have to lay down my life on the cross for you to be saved, but that's the kind of friend I am. I will lay down my life on the cross that you might be saved. And then when that sinner's heart is touched, because we sing that song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There is no love like the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that publican repents and says, I want to be saved. Then they become a different kind of friend to the Lord Jesus. First, he is their friend when they are sinners because he wants them to be saved. But after they are saved, he is their friend as the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. They are no longer goats. They are no longer sinners. But they are now sheep. They are part of Christ's flock. They are sinners saved by the grace of God. And then he is their friend in a different way. But when any sinner comes and he wants to know the way of salvation, I've searched and I've never found any example when a true seeker wanted to speak to Jesus about salvation or the truth of God when he would drive them away. I found this, that on occasion, when the Lord Jesus had gone to one town and preached there and told them the way of salvation, they had their chance. And then there was another town that needed to learn about how to be saved. And the Lord Jesus, when he was asked, look, people in this town want to hear more. The Lord Jesus said, I've told them. I have other places that I have to go. But he gave them that opportunity, salvation. And so when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus, he tells them how to be saved, as he told that woman in John chapter 4. He told her about water that was not in the well. When Nicodemus came to visit the Lord Jesus by night, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He always tells people enough about how to be saved. But if they say, now we want you to stay longer and spend all your time with us, don't go to this city, don't go to that city, just stay here with us. The Lord Jesus said, I have other sheep that I must preach to. I have other sinners that I must go and tell the way of salvation to. So remember, the Lord Jesus is a friend in a twofold way. He is a friend that will save you if you come seeking salvation. He will not reject you. It does not matter what your social position is in life. It does not matter what your moral condition is in life. If you come to Jesus, you'll find him a friend who wants to help you to get you cleansed from your sin. But if you will not have him as Savior, then the Lord Jesus sets you aside and will have nothing else to do with you. I want you to remember that. It is not that the Lord Jesus had friends that were drunkards and profligates and prostitutes, and he just enjoyed being with them. The only reason that Jesus was ever with them as they were was to change them to the image that was his, and he is the image of the invisible God. The purpose of Christ being a friend of sinners is to convert those sinners. Now, what some people have failed to understand is that preachers ought to be the way that their master was. And when the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, told them to have no fellowship with fornicators, here are men and women that are immoral in their lives, they took it that if anybody was immoral, they weren't to go and try to tell them the way of salvation. But the Apostle Paul said, when I wrote to you not to have any fellowship with fornicators, I did not mean the fornicators of this world, sinners that need to be saved. But I mean if anybody that professes to be born again is a fornicator. He said, I told you to have nothing to do with them. And so the Lord Jesus is the same. Right now, I can go and visit any person that is a fornicator, a drunkard, a reprobate. I can go and speak to them as their friend and seek to tell them the way of salvation. But if any of you fall and get into sin and remain in that sin, the Bible says, I'm to have nothing to do with you until what time your soul is restored. You see, God is the one who tells you that when you trust his Son as Savior, you are saved. But then if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the 23rd Psalm says, He restoreth my soul. And when a Christian sins until his soul is restored, we are to have nothing to do with that sinner except to go and admonish them. Repent. Turn back. Start walking with God again. And this is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend of any sinner. He is a friend of any publican, no matter what they have done in this life. But if they refuse his offer of salvation, then the Lord Jesus has nothing more to do with them. This is what he said concerning some people, and I want you to remember. There were some of the Pharisees, and I'll contrast them for you perhaps someday. The Pharisees heard the Lord Jesus preach, and they were offended at what he said. And his disciples came back and said, Do you know that the Pharisees were stumbled because of what you said? The Savior said, Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and they will both fall into the pit. But I thought you wanted souls to get saved. If he tells them the truth of God and they reject his truth, he says, Let them alone. The Lord Jesus is no longer the friend of those who, when the light comes, they refuse the light and they hate the light. And ultimately, the one who could have been their friend forever, the one who loved them and died for them on the cross, will say to them, Depart, you cursed, from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So Jesus is the friend of publicans and sinners. Now, I read to you that Christ was the friend of a great number of sinners and a variety of sinners. And what the world does not know is this, that there are religious sinners and there are immoral sinners. And I used to ask this question, which is a heavier burden? A burden that weighs 100 pounds, and it's 100 pounds of drugs and narcotics, it weighs 100 pounds. Or here is a box of Bibles that weighs 100 pounds. Which weighs more? You say 100 pounds of Bibles and 100 pounds of drugs and narcotics, but they both weigh the same. Well, of course they do. And the difference is that some sinners in the world have a burden of drugs and alcohol and immorality on them that weighs 100 pounds. And some churchgoers who have not been born again have a burden of 100 pounds of song books and Bibles and religious literature, but they weigh as much as the burden that immoral sinners are carrying around. And the Lord Jesus needs to remove the burden from religious sinners as well as from immoral sinners. And when the Savior says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, it means that you who are filled with religion and you are carrying a religious burden, you need to get rid of that religion and trust Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you are one who has a burden of sin and immorality, if you are one who is greedy of filthy lucre, that is a burden. And Jesus wants to take away that burden too. And the lovely thing is this, that Jesus will take the burden of sinners away, and at the same time, if you're filled with religion but you've never been born again, Jesus will forgive you that and the blindness that you've been walking in your whole life long, and Jesus will take your burden away as well. And so his enemies said concerning the Lord Jesus, he's the friend of publicans and sinners. And the Lord Jesus said, Indeed I am. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad for that song. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. We are thankful, our God, that he knew why he came into the world. He came not to call the righteous. He came not to help people that were well, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost and to heal sick people. We are thankful, our Father, that your son is the friend of publicans and sinners. And so many of us know that he is our friend. He was our friend when we were lost. And now he is our friend that we are saved. And he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your son, our Savior, our friend. Amen.